Who'll be next Sunday? All right. Thank you for volunteering. All right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. But before I do that, before I start, we were down at Lighthouse Home Friday night, and we try to, when we go, try to take Linda Matthews and Jean, because they're widows, and get them down there. And they all like Carol Robertson, and I go for the sausage dogs, and I had one going in and got one coming out. But I witnessed something that really touched my heart. And Carol Robertson sings a song about, if I had a dollar, if I had a dime, I'd give it all to Jesus, all right, wouldn't it? And people get up, after they've already gave when they come in, they've already given a love offering, but they get up and go put, I guess, a dollar or a dime in the thing. And I saw a window leading Justin down there. And that just touched my heart. You got that picture, Morgan? I took a picture of him coming back. And I thought, wow, it don't get no better than that. And Wendell, I want to tell you, me and Miss Faye love you, and the church loves you. You're a simple servant of the Lord. I wish we all, and I believe when we get to heaven, judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a lot of people who think they're going to be ahead of Wendell, but they're going to have to be behind him, you know. And so that's a special picture there. I wish Myrtle and Justin were here to see it this morning, but we'll keep it up there for next week. So, and also, too, we know others like that. I think JT was like that, right? And we knew others like that. Frank Burgess was like that, you know. And so that was really touching, and I appreciate that, brother. But now you'll buy me a sausage dog when we go again, right? Okay. All right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're moving through the book of Ephesians, and we looking at the wealth and the walk of the Christian, especially in chapter 4, 5, and 6, we're seeing how our doctrine plays out, our theology plays out in our life, and fleshes out in our daily walk with the Lord. And we come to chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, through the rest of the chapter that deals with spiritual warfare. And so we want to just preach on this morning the first part of a three-part series out of chapter 6 on spiritual warfare. Today we look at the adversary, our enemy. So beginning in chapter 6, verse 10, if you will, let's stand in honor of God's word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now this, again, finally, doesn't mean he's closing, but he's getting into his last unit of thought, okay? He's not like preachers today, say in conclusion and go on for 20 more minutes, okay? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, whereby you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's important now. Stand. We're going to get into that. There's a lot of people think they can invade hell and attack hell and do this and do that. But he said, stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Heavenly Father, I pray as we go through this message today, you lay on our hearts. Lord, I see the church in two extremes. I see the fact that we totally ignore spiritual warfare and the devil. And I also see many who claim to be saved who are too preoccupied with the devil and with demons. So help us to find a balance in the next 3 weeks. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is a battleground. It's not a playground. Amen. Can we get that out? And he faces the enemy who is much stronger than we are, apart from the Lord. And so when you got saved, you entered in spiritual warfare. You're in the army of the Lord. And not only do you have an enemy against you, you got the world against you, and you got the flesh ever warring with your spirit. And so Paul uses a military image here to illustrate the believer's conflict with Satan. And while he's writing this, chapter 6, verse 20, he himself was changed to a soldier. And he was very familiar with the Roman soldiers and the equipment. And that's how he gets the imagery, as we look at next week, our armor in our spiritual warfare. Okay? So that's very striking right there. So it always helps to do some, if you have, like me, and have a books that give you the Bible background of some of these passages, you can really bring them alive. But as Christians, we face three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. You'll see those in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. Now, the world refers to this world system opposed to God, apart from God. And they cater to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. One man said it is society apart from God. All you got to do is look at your paper or turn on your news channel and you can see the world very active, right? And so it's all about us. It's very simple definition and accurate, but it is the world. It's the spirit of this age, okay? That always runs counterculture to God and the things of God and the Word of God and the Church of God if they're standing on the Bible. Now, the flesh is the old nature that we inherited from Adam. And in Adam, right, we have this old nature here that ever battling with our new nature, the spirit that lives within us. And we cannot do anything in the flesh that pleases God. Can you say that with me? The flesh does not please God. It is the spiritual that pleases God. But by his death and resurrection, Christ overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil. In other words, as believers, as that we need to understand today, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory, okay? There's a difference. There's a lot of people trying today to fight for victory. You already have it, and you're fighting from victory. The Spirit of God enables us by faith to appropriate Christ's victory for ourselves, okay? So in these closing verses of this letter, Paul discusses three aspects of our spiritual warfare: the adversary, next week the armor, and next week the activity in this spiritual warfare. So this morning, let's look at the adversary first of all. It's none other than the devil. Now, I said before when I started that there, many in the church are ignorant of Satan and his devices, and some are start from a point of unbiblical methods in dealing with Satan. They're too preoccupied with Satan. I call it people who look for a demon behind every bush, okay? But there are demons, and there is a real Satan. He's a real person. He's not like the liberals who deny the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Sin is real, and it came from Adam who sinned, and there is a real devil, okay? So special ops, if you're familiar with military terms, enables the officers to know and to understand the enemy. And unless we know who the enemy is, where he's at, and what he can do, we're going to have a difficult time. This is why it's so hard in fighting terrorism. There is no country you can invade to get rid of them. There is no per se leader. They're not all wearing the same uniform, right? And so they're very hard to identify. But with Satan, we can identify him if we look at him scripturally. So this morning, we're going to look, first of all, at the leader. He is the devil. The enemy has many different names. He's called devil. Devil means accuser, because he accuses God's people before the throne of God day and night, Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. And then Satan is the word adversary. He is the enemy of God. He is the tempter. He is the murderer and a liar. He is compared to a lion and a serpent and an angel of light. Sometimes he comes as a roaring lion. Sometimes he comes as a serpent, as he did in the Garden of Eden. Sometimes he comes as an angel of light in the church. He masquerades as a preacher or a teacher or a leader in the church. And he's called the God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, where did he come from? Now, I know this may be elementary with a lot of you, but it may not be elementary with a lot of you. Where did he come from? This spirit creature who was created with the angels in creation, he's not all-knowing like God. He's not everywhere present. He's not omniscient like God. He can only do what God allows him to do, okay? You know, a lot of people want to give him too much credit. That's another thing in the church that has gone awry here. He's a spirit being, and he seeks to oppose God and defeat his work. He comes against the church and our doctrine. invades our doctrine. He tries to keep lost people lost. He blinds the unbelievers. And if you know the work of God from the Bible, he'll be easy to identify as a counterfeit, right? And that's how, we all know this. This is how the FBI identifies counterfeit money. They're trained in rubbing and feeling of the real money, right? And so once you know your Bible, you can easily detect this is a work of Satan. This is a work of God. Remember when they had the, I had it in my mind and it done gone. That's kind of like yesterday when we were at the old-fashioned day, and the young people were up there doing charades, acting out these biblical characters to us. I felt like here we had all these young people trying to show us, dementia aged people, what the Bible story was, you know. But anyway, Satan always has a counterfeit. What was that, Promise Keepers? Yeah, it came to me. See, I don't have dementia. If I had dementia, I wouldn't have remembered it. But it was a popular movement until it began to be infected by those who claimed the name of Christ and were not. The Promise Keepers, what was the counterfeit? You had the Million Man March, see? Satan always brings a counterfeit to counterfeit the work of God. Now, many Bible students, who I am one, believe in the original creation he was Lucifer, the son of the morning. In Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28, he wanted to be like God. It was pride. And God kicked him out of heaven, and he came down to earth, and also kicked out with him was one third of the angels, who were demons, and some are inhabited in chains, waiting for the judgment. The ones that in Genesis 6, which my interpretation is, these were fallen angels who cohabitated with human beings, and they were chained up forever and ever, waiting judgment. So this is where demons come from. You can't kill Satan. You can't kill the demons. They're going to be cast in the eternal lake of fire one day, and everlasting punishment, as we talked about Wednesday night. And so since he's a created being, he's not eternal. I mean, as far as being eternal God before God and all that, God created him, right? He wasn't here when after God created him. He didn't coexist with God, is what I'm trying to say. So he's not all-knowing, he's not all-powerful. You say, many people out there believe, well, I better not think that Satan can read my mind. No, he cannot. He's not God, but he can look at your actions, right? He's all-powerful. No, he's not. He can't do anything unless God allows him to do that. And he's not everywhere present. So if you think he's on your back at your house, that means he's not at my house, right? No, he has demons that do his work. There are his special agents. And also that, he has preachers. He has so-called believers, false teachers, that are also his agents that do his work. So the question is asked, and how does he accomplish so much in many different parts of the world? He has demons. There are demons over Iraq, demons over Afghanistan, even demons over Turkey. There's demons over Washington, D.C., who are controlling and trying to manipulate the affairs of the world. If you know the book of Daniel, you'll know that. So the answer is he has organized helpers. I think many times Satan and his demons are more organized than the church. I really believe that. And so we have the leader, the devil. We have Satan's agents, second of all. And notice verse 12 again, what they're called. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what they are. Ephesians chapter 6, they're well organized. There's different hierarchies of them. And they do different tasks according to what God wants them to do, or Satan wants them to do. There was a man years ago named Charles B. Williams who said it this way, for our contest is not with human foes alone. Y'all need to listen to this. It's not with human foes alone, but with the rulers and authorities and cosmic powers in the dark world. That is, with the spirit forces of evil challenging us in this heavenly contest. If we're not careful, we're going to think that people are our enemy, right? But it's those spiritual wicked forces behind them that are working. And that has a way that affects our prayer. So this is, suggests that there's a definite army of demonic creatures that assist Satan in attacks against believers. John said, again, that one-third of the angels fell and followed Satan when he rebelled. And then Daniel wrote that Satan's angels struggle against God's angels for control of the affairs of nations. Boy, you know, if I would think about it, I would think that there's probably more demons at the UN than anywhere else, you know? If this is Satan's job to affect the nations, wouldn't you go where the leaders gather, right? This is why they don't come up with nothing godly, why they don't come up with nothing that goes along with America, right? It's a spiritual battle in this world, a spear of heavenlies. And you and I are parts of this battle, or pawns in this battle. And knowing this, it helps us determine how to walk in victory. That's very important. So the important point is that our battle is not against human beings, it's against spiritual powers, okay? And we're wasting our time trying to fight people. Even problem people in the church. Pastors have learned that the people are really not their problems. That they may be carnal and they're open to Satan's attacks, and Satan's using them to bring about division and strife and factions in the church, see? So our prayer goes against Satan in that work, right? And so we need to understand that. And he seeks to control people and opposes the work of God. And then lastly, I've got another third point I want to share with you. Not only do we see the devil, the leader, we see Satan's agents, who not only are demons but also false teachers and people who are apostates. But we also see Satan's abilities. Now again, in chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, Paul gives us an admonition here that says we fight a strong enemy. And we need the power of God to be able to stand against him. You know, we have wrongly been taught in the church that we put on this armor of God and we march and bust down the gates of hell. But it's to stand, okay? Stand for truth, and we're going to look at that in the last lesson. Never underestimate the power of the devil. There are people who say, oh, he's not real. I mean, hey, you don't. But I run across things all the time that cannot be explained many times. And it has to be a work of the devil, you know. He's compared to a lion again, a dragon, for a reason, you know. And the book of Job tells us what his power can do to a man's body, right? To a man's wealth, to a man's family. If God allows it, and God did allow it for a reason, okay? Don't ever think that Satan can do anything to you that's over the power of God. There is a divine reason for whatever the thing is that God allows in your life, there's a reason why he allows it, okay? And Jesus calls Satan a thief who comes to steal and to kill and destroy, John 10:10. And not only is Satan strong, but he's wise and he's subtle. Look in verse 11, if you will, again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. That means cunning. He's cunning and he's crafty. Okay, y'all listen to me now. He can dress up doctrine in many of these churches where they think they got real doctrine and it's a false doctrine. He can dress, masquerade, a teacher, or a liberal, or whatever, in some of these churches who ordain homosexuals, who ordain women, or allow practicing homosexuals to come into the church and be a member in good standing. See, sometimes he comes like that, and it's obvious. They don't know the difference because they don't know the Bible, right? They left the Bible a long time ago. But you and I know the difference because we know our Bibles. And he can come to your children in movies. He can come to your children in books, and we say, this is innocent play here, but it's not. This is the work of Satan, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to stand in these things. He's cunning, and he's crafty, and we don't need to be ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. So behind every cunning and crafty man is an arch deceiver, Satan, who is the master deceiver. Again, he masquerades as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. and he seeks to blind men from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he blinds us. We often think, well, he blinds people with the gospel. But you know, he blinds us as well, because we don't go out there and share it, right? And so we're blinded for some reason, and we accept it, you know? And it's never to be accepted here. And then he says here in verse 12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Man, sometimes I come back to the church at night. I'll leave my phone, or I leave everything, all my phone in the office. Y'all take hint from your pastor, leave your phone in your car. But mine is in my office, okay? And sometimes I leave it. That's the price I pay for not having it in here. So I'll get down the road about 6 miles. I'll say, I left my phone. I got to go back. And I'll come back in here, and I want to tell you, well, this place is creepy at night, right? You ever been in a church at night by yourself? Well, I'll come in, I'll turn on the light back there, the hallway light. But still got to, you know, I come into the church, you know, sometimes I check the doors, whatever. But it's like, I don't know what it's like. It's dark, and I just feel like there's something nipping at my heels all the time, you know. When I come in, I feel like there's something, I go, trying to get out, you know. When I work with Astro Pest Control, this is what I hate. People wouldn't shut their dogs up when I came to do pest control service. And here I am trying to go around, and they got the little chihuahua who's following me all the time, nipping at my heels. And I want to turn around and kick them for Jesus, but I know that if I make a move, they'll change their bark, and they'll know I'm assaulting their little dog. Right? But that's the way, folks. I don't know for sure, but I think when we're not here, the demons are in here. Okay? Because why? They can be anywhere, right? We are the church, right? This is just a church house. I forgot my train of thought, but man, it's... Okay. Who will volunteer to come in here at night and walk in next week? Whoa. You know? But criminals are used to it because they're already serving spiritual wicked places, right? So, That's just a... Let me close with a couple of thoughts. Satan wants to use our external enemy, the world, and our internal enemy, the flesh, to feed us. Sometimes we blame Satan when it's our flesh. Okay? More times than not, it's our flesh. Right? And the world system, the world wants to corrupt us and mold us into their mold, Romans chapter 12. Right? And so sometimes we allow that. We read or look or we do things that the world offers that said this is innocent. And next thing you know, there is an opening in our mind for Satan to come in and do his work. You better guard what your children and your grandchildren are reading, okay? And just because they got it at school don't mean it needs to be read, right? You need to be careful with the friends that they hang out with. Our children don't do this, but I've heard of parents that send their children home with a friend at school and knows nothing about those parents, right? Are you with me? You don't know what they're doing at home, right, Miss Inez? Might be sending you home in some kind of whoa, you know? You don't know what they're doing. You better investigate them, right? Before you send your children off to spend a night with somebody that you don't know. These are just, I can go on and on about things that we can do or not do. But we need to guard the mind of our children, okay? It's not as innocent as it looks. So we must understand the enemy and his schemings if we are to live a life of victory. Now next week we're going to look at the armor. The armor of God, which is nothing more than the character and traits of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And we are to wear the armor of God. Every morning when you get up, don't look for your sandals. Don't look in the mirror. Put on the armor of God, right? In fact, by position, you already have it. You just got to realize it and practice it, okay? So we know our enemy, right, our adversary. Now, next week, we'll look at the armor, okay, that we're to wear in this spiritual war. Father, as our musicians come this morning, there may be one here this morning that has slipped, maybe they've taken these things innocent and they've allowed certain things to come into their life that are not biblical, that the very things that God died for and is against. Maybe somewhere this morning that would like to make a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. They realize they're a sinner apart from God, and the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ, by repenting of their sins and believing in Him, and getting into a good fundamental biblical church where they can be taught the Bible, where they can be nurtured in the body of Christ. Because Lord, there's nothing out there for us. It's all in the body of Christ. And so Father, I pray for us today. Whatever needs to be done, the altar is open. If you want people to come to pray for loved ones that are bound, whatever it might be, this is the time to do it. Have your will and way in this service. Father, and we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
All right, if you would get your hymn book.